Over this last couple of weeks, I have had my mind directed towards gardening and gardens as we find them in the Bible. At the prayer meeting just a week and a half ago, I spoke from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 1, where it says there, "I am come into my garden." And of course, the speaker there is the Lord Jesus Christ coming in to fellowship with his people in the garden of the Lord. Then last Sunday morning, we looked at the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 12, where he speaks there, "The garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse." And again, it is the Lord speaking, and we saw how that garden there is different from the world because it is God's garden. It is beautiful because it brings forth glory to the name and the person of our Lord. We also saw it was a secure garden because it's a garden enclosed. It's a precious garden, and it is filled, as we saw last Lord's Day, with all types of flowers. Some showy with not much fragrance. Some fragrance hiding in some corner of the garden. Some plants that are very hardy, able to take the snow and the cold. Others that are very weak and need continual monitoring and watching after. Some, like the rose, is sweet after rain. Some that need the crushing of the Lord to bring out the fragrance. And then those plants that only bring forth the fragrance after they, like the lavender, have died. And all of these are wonderful pictures of the individual believer in the garden of the Lord. And sometimes we can see ourselves reflected in that garden. Now, not only did I look at that, but after the service last Sunday, somebody spoke to me and gave a little thought. And I have to say that the first looking at the Song of Solomon, that was triggered by something I read in C.H. Spurgeon. Then the garden enclosed, that was triggered by something said by the famous J.C. Ryle. Well, somebody after the service last Lord's Day had a thought and shared it with me and planted a seed. And that seed has now grown into a sermon. And if you have difficulty with it, well, I'll tell you the name of the person and you can deal with them later. But there is a theme here regarding the garden. I want to continue, but from a very vastly different perspective than the ones we looked at this last couple of times. Because we have here in verse number 13 a very serious statement made by the Lord when he said to those round about him, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And this is a most serious verse that the Lord has given. And therefore, every individual one of us, we need to pay attention to what the Lord said to make sure that we are planted in the garden of the Lord and are not there as a weed that is blown in by the wishes and the will of the wicked one. So let's keep this verse before us. But the first thing I want to do, almost by way of introduction, is to look at the context. Because in the context, there is a marvelous word of encouragement to every child of God, especially as we live in this age of wickedness and of immorality and of false religion. Because in this chapter, in the context, you'll find that the Lord Jesus had a dispute with the Pharisees. These Pharisees were those who had religion, they had traditions, they had rites, they had the outward show. But the Lord made it clear that this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So he's telling them that while they have all kinds of trappings of religion, their hearts are far from God. And then the Lord said, every plant, that he's speaking now about the Pharisees in particular, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And so where is the Pharisaical religion today? Rooted up by the power of Almighty God. Now we are living in a day in this 21st century where there is much evidence of the pride of religion. I told you some time ago about going to London in the airport there and seeing a Jewish man, a Jewish doctor, throwing a fit in the airport departure lounge and making a fool of himself. Then we were shipped on, put onto the plane, and after the 747 had taken up and got up to the time when the seat belts were, the sign went off, he stood up and put all kinds of things around his hands and his prayer thing over his shoulder, and he started to pray right in the front of the cabin of a 747 with about 350 people there, so that he could be seen of men. And I thought, well, the Pharisaic religion is not dead, but there is a pride in religion. I went downtown last week, dropping some people off to see something. And I waited in the car while they were there. And here's a man right in front of my car, puts a mat down the ground, stands up, takes his shoes off, says a few prayers, down with his head to the ground, and up again. And he was watching me as I was watching him. And I was talking to somebody who comes from Egypt, who told me that that is done as a public exercise so that they may be seen. A scene of men. You also go to many religions today and you'll find that there is great pride there. For example, you talk to Russellites and they will tell you with great pride of their organizational power and how they can build a kingdom hall in one day. They love to talk about that. I've talked to many of them about that particular subject. You'll find that the Mormons, they are very proud of their temples and of their money and so on. And you'll find that coming into this city, just in a couple of weeks, there will be a spectacular mass put on at Downsview. And there the cardinals and the Pope will be dressed up in all kinds of spectacular robes. And the whole aim and objective and calculation is to attract the eye and to get us to look and to be impressed by what we see. But these words of the Lord Jesus should be taken to heart by everybody. Because if a work is not of God, God has said here, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And you think today of the disgrace in the city of Toronto with that parade downtown. And many of those people, they will be professing to be Christians. And those of us of the Bible who point out that sodomy is a sin and that homosexual practices are an abomination in the eyes of God, we are the ones who are painted as the bigots. But my friend, if a work is not of God and planted by the Heavenly Father, who is a God of infinite holiness, they shall be rooted up. And so, and there is an encouragement for the child of God that the Lord will sort all these things out. We look abroad, we see the wicked spreading like the green bay tree. But it doesn't matter how strong the tree is. It doesn't matter how big the tree is. It doesn't matter if that tree fills the whole earth. When God's time comes, God will root that tree up. We had a tree that we had to take down, and getting the root out is a very difficult job. Very difficult indeed. But my friend, the Lord God Almighty is one who has all power. And so when the time comes, He will root up the green bay trees. Because He has not planted them. They have planted themselves. So in the context of the word of encouragement here for suffering saints, as Larry reminded us this morning, how that Paul went through much suffering for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a blessing to be able to rest and be able to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And so while the trees of falsehood and iniquity rise, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up. Now let's get on to the main part of this message, which is the comparison that the Lord Jesus Christ has drawn here. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up. And the first thing we need to look at this comparison is that the Lord here has likened people unto plants. And we've seen that already in our previous studies in the Song of Solomon. And the plants in this world, the people in this world, they are all alike in root. It doesn't matter what the color of our skin may be. It doesn't matter what our ethnic background may be. Every one of us, we share a common root. And that common root is that which is espoused in the Bible over and over again, that we are born in sin and we're shaken in iniquity. And the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for every one of us, we share this common root, and that is the root of sin. But the other part of the comparison is that the kingdom of God is like a garden. Because that's what the Lord's speaking about. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. He's talking here about the Lord's garden. We saw it last week in the Song of Solomon. And the Lord is the master gardener. When my wife and I got married, and that was 44 years ago on Friday, it seems just like yesterday, but we're now married 44 years. It said in the Star yesterday, an article there, questioning, is marriage now an outdated institution? Not at all. The very best institution instituted by Almighty God. A lot of the comments put in were not along that line because they did not focus on what God has told us in His Word. But thank God marriage is a divine institution, blessed by Almighty God. And when my wife and I got married, we bought a little house, a brand new brick built, a semi-detached house for about $2,500. Now it's worth about $200,000, that same house. But we've got this new house with new gardens, front and back. Not very big, but front and back. And I had a friend I worked with in the aircraft industry, a Plymouth Brethren man. We had good fellowship together. And I was talking to him, and he was an amateur gardener and a very good artist. And I said to him, brother, would you draw me a plan out for the garden? Rather than just have a little square garden, draw me a nice plan and show me what plants to put in it. And he drew me a lovely little picture, and we're able to do that, and the garden was nice. You see, if you're going to do a garden, you're better to sit down and plan it. And God Almighty has a garden, and the master gardener has planned this from all eternity. Even before this world came into being, the master gardener was planning this garden of his. And again, he was making preparation for it because his son was to die on the cross so that those plants might be redeemed and prepared to come into the garden of the Lord. And so you find the master gardener planning, and you find him preparing, and you find him getting plants and bringing them out of the wilderness, shaking off the earth off them, bringing them in, planting them into his garden. And then you find him protecting his great and his precious investment. My, it's good to know in this world of wickedness and sin that God is still in control. That God is still on the throne because He is working to His master plan, and it is His garden. And God alone is the one who has the ability and the authority to take a plant out of His world, to wash the sin off it, and to put it into His garden. Only God can do that. And so it is wonderful. The people are likened to plants in the kingdom of God, as likened to a garden. Now God did make a garden earlier. He made a garden in Eden, and there He made a perfect environment for our first parents, Adam and Eve. But you know the story well, how that sin entered in, and you find that that brought disaster upon the whole of humanity. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, he says, in the visible church, it is no strange thing to find plants that our Heavenly Father hath not planted. And so he's talking not about denominations. He's talking about the visible church worldwide. The church of Jesus Christ. He says, in the visible church, it is no strange thing to find plants that our Heavenly Father hath not planted. And that is true, because you'll find some churches and they've so gone away from the truth of God that today you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who really was born again of the Spirit of God and knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But still they maintain the name Christian, and they would espouse a so-called Christianity. But, my friend, that's why every one of us needs to be very, very careful that we are not the strange plants in the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this garden the Lord has made is very like Eden in the sense that the Lord's garden is made by Him, and we'll prove it in a minute, but there are those in the garden that the Lord did not plant, and so therefore every individual person needs to beware. And as it says in the Bible, to make our calling and election sure, to make sure that I am planted by the hand of God in the garden of the Lord, and be able to say on the assurance of God's word, it is well with my soul. Now just to think about the identity of some of those who are wrong plants in the Lord's garden. It is possible to have people in the visible church, and they're planted there not by the Lord, but they're planted by ministers, they're planted by pastors, they may be planted by elders, they may be planted by Sunday school teachers, and so on, because you'll find that people, they do have respect for the minister, the pastor, an elder, or a Sunday school teacher, and therefore, because of that respect, they ally themselves to the Christian cause, but they don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I can tell you, any soul that I would lead to the Lord by my own effort, that person is not a Christian. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can save. It's only God the Father who can take a plant out of the wilderness and put it into His garden. And if we only trust the minister or the elder or the Sunday school teacher for our salvation, then we're heading for disaster. As well as ministers, you can also have people who are planted in the visible church by parents. Now, it's good to have Christian parents, and as someone has said, it's good when the oak tree grows. And from the oak tree, you find acorns fall and young oak trees grow up. And so it's good when you have a Christian home and the young people come to the Lord and they grow up in the Lord. That's good. But sometimes the danger that young people, they regard themselves as Christians purely because their mother is a born-again believer and their father is a born-again believer. And so in a sense it is the parents who planted them in the garden of the Lord. We need to make sure, young people, that you're not looking upon yourself as a Christian just because your parents are, because there's no salvation by proxy. You yourself, individually and personally, must come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. You must be taken the hand of God and planted into His garden by Him. Also, there is the danger of plants that are planted by the devil. Because over in Matthew chapter 13, just a couple of chapters before, you have the chapter there where the Lord tells us of the man who sowed wheat in his field and tares appeared. And he said in verse 28 of Matthew 13, an enemy has done this. And you can be sure that the old devil will work hand over fist to get into the visible church of Jesus Christ tares who know not God at all. But they may give the appearance of being Christians. They may give the appearance of being those who follow the Lord and are planted in the Lord's garden, when in actual fact they're planted there by the devil and put in there by the devil for a specific purpose. Then there's another danger, and that is the danger of planting ourselves in the Lord's garden, because the bottom line is, you cannot plant yourself in the Lord's garden. The Bible tells us clearly, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And so we cannot plant ourselves in the Lord's garden. Only God can do that. And let me tell you, and let me say by explanation, we are delighted when unsaved people come into the church. If you're here tonight and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to know we're delighted you're here. We're glad of the opportunity of sharing with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our desire that you would come to know our Savior, that the Lord would take you and plant you into His garden. But do remember that you can't plant yourself in the Lord's garden. God must do it, because salvation is a work of God that comes through the operation of the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God to your heart. Then there's a danger also here of what the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about, and that is the hypocrite in the Lord's garden. Because He's speaking here with the Pharisees, who had all the outward trappings of religion. They had traditions, they had rites, they had outward show, but their hearts were far from God. Likewise, in the visible church of Jesus Christ, there are those, and you'll look at them, and they look like a flower in the garden of the Lord. They smell like a flower in the garden of the Lord. They even sound like a flower in the garden of the Lord. But the problem is, they don't really know the Lord at all. I was doing a little bit of gardening up in the old school there just a couple of days ago, putting in a few flowers. I went to another place, and I purchased those flowers, paid money for them. So now they're mine. And I bring them along to the flower bed up there in the north of the Macomb building. And if I left them lying on top of the ground, it wouldn't do any good. And this is the thought that this dear brother had. It wouldn't do any good. Because they have to be planted into the ground so that they draw their sap and their sustenance from the ground. And likewise, the believer has to be planted into the soil of the garden of the Lord and to draw up the sap and the sustenance from the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they'll die. And so it's most important that we in the church are not the hypocrite that looks like the believer, but is the one who is drawing up the sap and the sustenance that comes alone from the Lord Jesus, who is the life of the church. Then there's the problem of backsliders. And backsliders need to beware. Because backsliders, they can say, I am in the garden of the Lord. And there's always a question with a backslider. Did that person ever come to the Lord in the first place and backslide, or did they never really come to the Lord, but they just give the impression that they had come to the Lord? And for those people, there are dread warnings in the Bible, because over there, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 21, the Lord is speaking about His ancient people, and He said, yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? What a word of denunciation from the Lord for those that were planted in the garden of the Lord, who had turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine. And then again, over in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, very suggestive, the Song of Solomon. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof. And so here's the Lord and his gardener, his vineyard. He gathered out the stones and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. So you have the denunciation of the Lord upon those who have backslidden and gotten away from God. And so, friend, if that's your state tonight, Don't presume on the mercy of the Lord. You need to make sure that you are genuinely planted in the garden of the Lord by the hand of the Lord Himself. You see, in chapter 13 of Matthew, and in all of the four Gospels, you have the story of the parable of the sower, and how the sower went forth, and he sowed the seed. He sowed some, and it fell by the wayside. He sowed some, and it fell among thorns. He sowed some, and it fell on the stony places. And then he sowed some, and it fell on good ground, and we're told it brought forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that tells us that in the garden of the Lord, as Matthew Henry rightly says, in the visible church, it is no strange thing to find plants that our Heavenly Father hath not planted. Because you look at the parable of the sower, and you'll find that those who are planted by the wayside, there was what appeared to be a degree of growth, and then they died. Those planted in the stony places, likewise. Those planted among the thorns, likewise, there was a degree of growth, but then they died. It's only those who were planted in the good ground of the Lord's garden that brought forth fruit, some 60, some 30, and some 100-fold. And so that's why this verse becomes a dread warning that to every soul, every plant which my Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now let's finish by looking at this calamity. Because in the Garden of Eden there was sin. And sin was rooted out of the Garden of Eden. And you have the great separation where Adam and Eve were driven out. But thank God they didn't find the mercy of the Lord. But there was the separation because sin was rooted out of Eden. And sin cannot enter into paradise. Sin cannot enter into heaven. Sin cannot enter into God's presence. So therefore, the sin's got to be dealt with. In chapter 13 of Matthew, you have another parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And I want to read you the Lord's interpretation of that. And I want to listen carefully. Because the interpretation as given by the Lord is infallible, it is inspired, it is the truth of God's word, it's not man's speculation, it is God's own interpretation of his own word. How the man sowed the seed, another man came along and sowed tares, they grew together, and the Lord said, an enemy hath done this. Now, in verse 37 of 13 of Matthew, the Lord gives the answer. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So is the Lord Jesus Christ sowing the good seed. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one, and you find them all going together. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Because every plant that the Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up and shall be burned. Verse 41, Matthew 13, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then the Lord gives this repeating statement, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, my friend, we all need to examine ourselves tonight. Need to ask ourselves, Lord, am I in thy garden? Can I look back to a place when I was lifted out of the wilderness of sin and the soil of sin was blotted away and I was planted by the hand of the Almighty in the garden of the Lord? Can I look back to a moment when I came out of the world and came into the garden of the Lord? In other words, was there a moment in time when you were saved by the grace of God? I remember vividly in my life that moment. And most believers can look back and remember that moment when God dealt with them. It's not just going along and flicking a switch and everything fills your life with light. It's a matter of God the Holy Ghost convicting of sin and bringing us to realization that we need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And so ask yourself, can I look back today to a time when my life was dramatically transformed by the grace of God? Then we can examine ourselves by saying, am I happy in the Lord's garden? Am I satisfied to be planted in the Lord's garden along with the other plants that the Lord has planted in His garden? Am I happy here? Because if I'm not, then I'm looking for my happiness out there in the world again. But the believer can say that he is happy in the Lord. Because out there he tried the broken cistern, but the waters failed. But here in the garden of the Lord, it's a well-watered garden, and he's happy in the place the Lord has placed him. Ask yourselves also, am I happy to be with the Lord's people? Because you see, if you're in the Lord's garden, and you're happy in the Lord's garden, you're going to be there with the Lord's people, and you'll be happy with the Lord's people in the Lord's garden. But there are those people whose happiness lies outside the garden of the Lord, and they'd much rather be in the company of the ungodly. If that's the case, there may be a serious problem there with regard to the safety of your eternal soul, because there are those whose desire would be rather to be out in the world, and they're playing with the tares instead of rejoicing and worshipping with the wheat. And that's why every believer, every person needs, in the words of the Scripture, to make their calling of God and the election of God and their planting of God to make it absolutely sure. Because, my friend, don't underestimate this. This is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of spiritual life and spiritual death. It's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. And so we need to make sure. Because the Lord said there, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Can be rooted up here in this world, or can be rooted up, certainly rooted up, in the day of the judgment of the Lord. But you say, Pastor, I believe I'm planted in the garden of the Lord, but I just want to make absolutely sure. Well, there are some ways you can understand whether or not you're in the garden of the Lord, because first of all, if you have been planted by the Lord in the garden, you'll have the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of the Lord. And so the first thing that you have is this inward witness. And you can say, I know, as we saw this morning, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know because I have the inward witness. And I'm happy in Jesus. I'm happy with my life in the Lord's garden. I'm happy with the Lord's people. The Lord has put me. My joy is not out in the world. My today. I'm glad I'm here in a church with a handful of people rather than the mobs going down Young Street. Last place in the world I'd want to be today is down there. Thank God meeting with God's people. Happy in the Lord Jesus, because of inward witness. And then as well as that, you'll have the outward fruit. Because if the Lord has worked in your life, then there will be the signs of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and so on. All those fruits will be seen in the life of the believer. And your life will count for something. And people spend their lives in the pursuit of some earthly dream at the end of the day. So what? The whole world has been caught up in the World Cup soccer. And for the last month it has gone wild, especially in those countries involved in it. At the end of the day, a team wins the World Cup, so what? At the end of the day, what does it matter? At the end of the day, who cares who wins the Stanley Cup? It's there for a moment and it's soon forgotten. What does it matter? If somebody takes a stage that is there as a singer and has the world coming and bowing down, making an idol out of them, so what? At the end of the life, what is there? And there are some occupations that you see on television, you hear on the radio and so on, and you wonder, how do those people spend their lives doing that? How do they justify their existence? How can they say at the end of the day, I'm doing something worthwhile? Or better, bearing the fruit of the Lord. Because I told you, that church you went to there in Scotland at Antwoth, where Samuel Rutherford ministered, and how he wrote the line, I can't remember it exactly, but the line, if some soul from Antwoth shall meet me there, then my heaven shall be two heavens. If we've led a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you'll find that there is the inward witness and there will be the outward fruit, and you will in due time have the joy of influencing somebody to come to Christ. And what a blessing will be if you have the joy of seeing some come to the Lord. And so the believer can say, I know. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know whom I have believed. It's not just something that you think, is not something you just imagine, it's something you can say, I know, beyond any shadow of a human doubt. But the Lord says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. The worst thing that could ever happen to a soul on this earth is to be rooted up by God and burned in the everlasting flames of a Christless rejector's hell. Oh, tonight, my friend, think seriously of these words. If you remember nothing else, and I have repeated it over and over so that you will remember it, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And if you know not the Lord, we would encourage you to come to Him today. And if you go out of this building without Christ, it is my prayer that this verse of Scripture will follow you moment by moment until you bend the knee before the cross of the Lord Jesus and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And thank God with loving, blood-stained, nail-pierced hands, He'll take you and plant you in His garden. One of the things that's used for the garden naturally is blood meal. But it's nothing compared to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives you life. My friend, make sure you know the Lord tonight, because every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the solemnity of this meeting tonight. And Lord, we pray that Thou would help us each to do what Thy servant said, that a man examine himself. O God, may we examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith. We thank Thee, our Father, for the inward witness. We thank Thee, O God, for the outward fruit. We pray that may be seen in the life of every child of Thine. But Father, for those about whom right now they are entertaining a doubt, we ask You, O God, that Thou would make it abundantly clear, and may they feel the hands of our blessed Lord lifting them in redemption, in salvation, and planting them in the garden of the Lord. Oh God, save some soul this night, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as we're closing hymn, number 312. 312. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We'll stand to sing. Together in prayer. And just before we dismiss the service, if there is a soul here tonight and the word of God has disturbed you, you're not sure whether you are planted in the Lord's garden, don't leave until you know that it's well with your soul. I'd be happy to speak with you afterwards, or speak to Larry or to Dr. Oatley Willis. Any of us would be glad to speak with you and show you how this night you might know the blessing of God's salvation. But don't put it off, because the Lord tells us the day coming that when those that are not planted by him shall be rooted up, make sure you come even tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou would burn this text into every heart, that we who know the Lord may realize our responsibility to God. And those, Lord, that have never come to the Lord, that even today they would call upon the name of the Lord. Part us, Lord, now in thy fear and with thy blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.